Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Batman. Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Using your drone since getting the waiver?
As a hobby. The restrictions on me, and Jim and I were talking about this earlier before the meeting, the restrictions on me, because mine was one of the early ones, I was number 13 out of the ones approved. I think we're up over 200 or some 400 somehow. The restrictions on me, like one of them that I have, is I cannot fly, according to my exemption in writing, within 5 miles of an airport. Any airport. The COA that came out, and then when I got my COA, that was in there. I couldn't do that. The COA that came out, that the FAA made it a lot easier if you fly over 200 feet, says for one without a tower, without a radio control, you can fly within 2 miles. Well, that's great. The COA says I can do it. My exemption says I cannot. Exemption rules over the COA this time. So that prohibits me.
The exemption rules over the COA this time, Rob. Did you hear that?
I did hear that, and that's got to be disheartening for old Douglas.
That means that as a 333 holder, in the beginning, you are more restricted than 333 holders now, and you're more restricted than the other thousands of pilots that don't have a 333 because you don't need one.
I really feel bad for him, actually, Paul.
You know what? You're a sweetheart, Rob.
I do. I mean, he tried to do the right thing, right, by getting the exemption, following what he perceived as the appropriate path to flying a camera, and it's biting him in the butt.
It is biting him in the butt, and that's why you're listening to episode 101 of Ask Drone You. Welcome, guys. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And you are listening. That was Douglas Trudeau, Leslie Walker of the National Association of Realtors, and Jim Williams from the FAA. And you heard it there, Rob. The blanket COA does not apply to all pilots of the 333. This is another reason why to not have a 333.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if this is what the FAA has intended with these COAs, and I just think there's some, and this happens a lot with the government, right, where there's unintended consequences of actions that they take, particularly on legislation that they promote or actually pass. The unintended consequences always seem to bite people.
That's true.
It's inevitable, and this is a perfect example of that.
This goes to show that maybe putting yourself out there on the radar does not help, ever.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. And you know, again, we've talked about Douglas trying to do the right thing. He's, what, he said he's the 13th 333 exemption?
Uh-huh.
So he hopped right on it, said, I'm going to do this the
I'm
right way.
I'm going to get one.
I'm going to make sure I'm legal, right? That's the word.
Someone didn't do their legal research, though.
True. I suppose he just kind of got swept up in the wave of the media and what the FAA was pushing pretty hard.
The funny thing is, he hasn't even shot that many houses. If you actually look at his videos, he really hasn't done that many.
I think he's still afraid of the FAA. I don't know.
It does sound like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, I mean, we need to have a healthy fear. They do.
True.
Oversee what we do.
I'll say this. I think the very ironic thing is that, you know, someone the other day said, no, the blanket COA of 200 feet does apply to all Section 333 holders. And we just listened to Douglas Trudeau in the same room as the head of the FAA, Jim Williams, state, look, Jim and I were just talking about this before we even got into this meeting, about how I'm stuck and there's really nothing I can do now, and it really sucks.
It doesn't. For me, Paul, frankly, it begs the question, can he get out of his 333? Is there a way to delete it, or whatever you'd call it?
I think that's the question of the day, Rob. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people are discussing. They're like, well, you know, I don't really need a 333, but I can get, you know, the super high-end jobs like feature films if I have one, which is true. You know, you really can do any job with a drone up until feature and not need a 333.
Although, again, Paul, a lot of people are starting to ask, do you have a 333?
They are. So it's more and more important to know the law and be able to answer that question effectively. And I always say too, Rob, and I recommend this to our members all the time, don't forget to say you advocate for clear rules from the FAA, because I think we all do. And it also showcases that, look, you're not just a dissident against the government, and, you know, you're not a birther, as they would call it, you know.
Not at all, and certainly we are not that here at Drone U.
No, what we are is educated, and we're not going to let what they put out in the media determine our real-world values and views on what is actually written into law and what's not.
Right, and therefore what we can and can't do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, you know, it just goes to show that if you are doing your research, if you're part of the Drone U community and you go through legalities course, knowing the law will help you out in many other ways other than this. But going back to it, if you apply for a 333, that beginning question, and you're granted the 333, and then you learn about this, and you're like, well, maybe I don't want a 333. Yeah. Can you back out?
We don't know the answer to that question. I would hate to say, okay, I just paid an attorney
$5,000
to get the 333, and now I got to pay another $5,000 to get out of it. I don't know that that's the case. We don't know that, but I wonder if that's what it would take.
You know, that is a good question. Or do you just start a new business?
Well, I suppose that's true.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, with me, I'm getting a lot of my business net right now online. And it's from having that established drone stuff on my website for a long period of time. And, you know, this was the conundrum about becoming the videographer for Drone U, about how to separate and still utilize that traffic, because if you shut the business down, you're going to mess with your traffic and you're going to mess with your potential sales.
Well, and oftentimes the government will see through that and they won't let you get away with that, particularly if it gets to the courts.
Ah.
So you can try that, but I don't think that's a great strategy in the first place. I think you'd be better off trying to figure out if you can get rid of the 333.
Well, it seems like we need to get maybe Brendan Schulman on here and ask him that question.
That would be a great, great show to get him on, because this just keeps coming up. I hope nobody's getting tired of talking about this, but the bottom line is we keep hearing buzz about this, and we keep, so the NAR meeting just happened recently, and it wasn't that long ago.
Nope.
And so this is just a subject that's not going to go away until there are definitive, clear
rules. Which brings up the next point. Senator Cory Booker put a proposal in the Senate to say, you know what, I'm sick of the FAA. They've missed multiple deadlines. It's time to just make very simple, clear-cut rules. Look, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. The FAA needs to come up with a test in the next year, and we need to get this done because we are falling behind. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I was just talking to my brother yesterday, who's a commercial broker in D.C., and he was saying, you know, the amount of properties they lease, and he works for the largest leasing company in D.C.
Okay.
And he said, you know, the amount of volume that we're leasing is 1/10 of what we were doing 6 years ago.
That's disconcerting.
It is disconcerting. But what he was saying was, you know, there used to be a lot of startups. There used to be a lot of business. People were pouring in to make things for the iPhone. They were making things for BlackBerry. It was technology-based stuff. And we're just not seeing that anymore. There is no real industry that seeks that much need, that much growth, that much, you know, accessories and third-party companies providing services. But you know what? In an argument against my brother, I think that's the drone industry. And I think the government, by not creating these clear rules, is severely economically hurting us in ways that they don't even understand or are capable of understanding. And you know, they say that there is drone data out there on the real economic impact. And we know there is.
Sure.
Traxta has that information if you're looking for it. The fact of the matter is, it is a massive amount of money, Rob.
It is, and the industries that it helps, so not just direct, but indirect benefit from the drone industry and the associated financial boom that can come from that is huge.
So to explain what Rob's talking about, indirect costs, let's talk about a farmer, right? If we can save a farmer, say, 30% on his fertilizer costs, would you say that's an indirect economic impact of the drone industry?
Absolutely. I mean, I think at least theoretically, that would be reduce cost to the consumer.
See, now here's another example. Everyone knows we have failing infrastructure in the United States, and that drones can map a bridge. They can use a TIR/SWIR/LIR technology or even LIDAR to penetrate this infrastructure and see how stable it is. Here's the good thing. A drone can do that. It tells the government, look, this is a really bad bridge. We need to fix this bridge. So they take the bridge down and thus mitigating the risk of someone losing their life by driving over the bridge and it falling. But also we're creating jobs by doing that because you've got the drone pilot, you've got the software engineer, you've got the drone spotter. That's three jobs right there. And then you've got all the jobs created by rebuilding the bridge, the construction agency, the general contractor, the licensing board, the guy that's, you know, doing the rebar in the cement manufacturer. I mean, the list goes on, and that was one of 245 different commercial applications that we've come up with. Yeah. That's why we say the economic impact is so vast, it is difficult to calculate.
Right. So we need these rules to be established so that we can move past this and just start doing the work.
And I think a lot of people already are moving past this.
They are, but there are a lot that aren't because they're afraid and or maybe they're just more conservative in nature.
Or maybe they believe everything they hear on the news because they're so gullible.
Or maybe they're just conservative in nature. There are those people.
Whatever your viewpoint is, we may have differing viewpoints here, Rob. I don't know.
It's okay. It's good. It's boring to have the same viewpoint all the time.
Yeah, then we would never talk to each other.
That's right. Or at least, yeah. Anyways.
So, guys, what do you think? I want to hear your response to this. You heard it from Douglas Trudeau that his COA is limiting. So what about all the guys that filed their COAs last year and still haven't been processed yet? You know?
I don't know. I mean, if I were some of those folks and I had done my research and maybe they're a Drone U member, I'd probably, if you can even do it, stop the process.
Yeah, I would. And, you know, the funny thing, one thing, last bit on the 333, what I've noticed, companies that say and announce that they applied for a 333 on a public forum tend to get their 333 faster than those who don't announce they applied for it.
Really?
That's a trend I'm noticing right now.
That's really interesting, but something sort of along those lines, we've actually heard some folks say, we put in our application for the 333 simply so that we could say we did.
Ooh, thank you for bringing that up. That is such a good point. There are two people that we can't name that come to this office very often who do that. And they say, oh yeah, well, we've applied for it. We've got everything in line. We've got all the necessary paperwork. So, you know, we're just waiting for them to say yes at this point.
Right, right. And apparently it's working.
Yeah, apparently it is. They just got a new job in LA this last week. So apparently it is working. But, you know, I think it goes to show that for the bigger industrial jobs, you know, these corporations, because they don't want to fight with the federal government, you may need a 333. Or if you know the law, you may not, because we're finding that if you say you applied and you still don't have it, you can still get work.
Well, and I think an interesting point, Paul, is that the insurance companies who are pretty conservative by nature, they're still issuing insurance certificates for people that are flying commercially.
Which is another great point, because in that email that I put in the Drone U community talking to people who asked me, Paul, are you licensed to fly drones? Well, there is no drone licensing. Here's the law. And one of the things I first said in the first sentence was, if it was illegal to fly drones commercially, would I be able to get insurance?
I would think not. And we have talked to multiple folks in the insurance industry, and these are knowledgeable people.
Oh, yeah. And they know about the laws. They know about the gray area. I mean, let's talk about, you know, I don't want to name companies, but the East Coast company that we work with now a lot, he knew all about it.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, they are not hesitating for a second to issue these policies.
No, not at all. Because there's a need, there's risk, and guess what? It all comes around profit, which just goes to show the FAA, I don't know if they're dragging their feet because they're still trying to figure out how to make money on this or what, but we are now the last country on the continent to have rules.
Yeah, we need to get that squared away. So, I you know, we know they're working on it. We know they're working hard. The reality is our government is a bureaucracy and it takes time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we can definitely hope, we can be optimistic We can call our local senators and tell them what's important. We did that here at Drone U. Luckily, we got to talk to our local Congresswoman, Michelle Lujan Grisham. We told her what we thought about the NPRM. She actually brought us back for another meeting to talk about details and what things we thought could really help. And we recommend you do the same, because the only way that we can hope for the best is by preparing for the worst. And by preparing for the worst, what we're doing is actually preparing our representative, our elected representatives, and what are they called? Officials? Public officials?
Public officials, yeah. I think
we're fair. Educating them, because remember, if we don't go out of our way to educate them, what makes you think they're going to go out of their way to educate themselves?
Absolutely.
Unless it's a political, a grandstanding move, or unless it's a political PR move, chances are they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the more public officials that we/you educate, we can have people rally around to Cory Booker, for example, and help him push through what they're talking about there.
It was funny because I mentioned Cory Booker to the FAA agent the other day, and he was like, oh, well, just because they put it in the Senate doesn't, you know, mean that it's actually a whole Senate-wide issue. And it's like, well, no, but it's becoming a very prevalent issue today.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly that sounds like a half-empty perspective, I suppose.
I completely agree.
At some point, you've got to push the legislation through and try.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of laws that get put into the Senate, and they don't ever make it out. But if you don't put it in, it's of course not going
to
make it out. So you got to try.
You definitely
do. And so
I
at least appreciate Mr. Cory Booker doing that.
Mr. Booker, continue on, friend. We like the law you came up with. Okay. You should definitely have BVLOS, though. I completely disagree with the whole no beyond visual line of sight. If you have a spotter and an observer, you should be able to do beyond visual line of sight. So the technology dictates it, that's for sure.
It does. And there are a couple other things in there that we'd like to see change. But anyways, the dialogue is continuing, and we'll all continue to work on that.
Definitely. But guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Ask Drone U. Remember, if you have questions about anything drone related, be sure to go to AskDroneU.com. Also, I want to hear your responses. Are you getting jobs with a 333? Are you getting jobs without a 333? If you're getting jobs without a 333, well then you and I have a lot in common, and I want to hear more about it. So give us a little shout on AskDroneU.com. Don't forget, too, we got weekly webinars where we go super into detail to help you become a better pilot, sell more footage at a higher price, and really gain that competitive advantage. That's also going to help you out in the Drone U community, where you will gain the optimum competitive advantage. So guys, just want to say thanks again for listening to our show. We really appreciate it. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.